Alleluia, Christ is risen.
The Lord is risen indeed. Alleluia.
Almighty God, to you all hearts are open, all desires known, and from you no secrets are hid.
Cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name. Through Christ our Lord.
Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. O God, the King of glory, you have exalted your only Son, Jesus Christ, with great triumph to your kingdom in heaven. Do not leave us comfortless, but send us your Holy Spirit to strengthen us and exalt us to that place where our Savior Christ has gone before, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, in glory everlasting.
Amen.
Please be seated.
A reading from the book of Acts. In those days, Peter stood up among the believers. Together the crowd numbered about 120 persons, and said, "Friends, the scripture had to be fulfilled, which the Holy Spirit through David foretold concerning Judas, who became a guide for those who arrested Jesus. For he was numbered among us and was allotted his share in this ministry. So one of the men who have accompanied us during all the time that the Lord Jesus went in and out among us, beginning from the baptism of John until the day when he was taken up from us. One of these must become a witness with us to his resurrection." So they proposed two: Joseph, called Barsabbas, who was also known as Justus, and Matthias. Then they prayed and said, "Lord, you know everyone's heart. Show us which one of these two you have chosen to take the place in this ministry and apostleship, from which Judas turned aside to go to his own place." And they cast lots for them, and the lot fell on Matthias, and he was added to the 11 apostles. The word of the Lord.
Thank you.
A reading from the first letter of St. John. If we receive human testimony, the testimony of God is greater. For this is the testimony of God that he has testified to his Son. Those who believe in the Son of God have the testimony in their hearts. Those who do not believe in God have made him a liar by not believing in the testimony that God has given concerning his Son. And this is a testimony. God gave us eternal life, and this is a life in his Son. Whoever has the Son has life. Whoever does not have the Son of God does not have life. I write these things to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, so that you may know that you have eternal life. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to John.
Glory to you, Lord Christ.
Jesus prayed for the disciples, saying, I have made your name known to those whom you gave me from the world. They were yours, and you gave them to me, and they have kept your word. Now they know that everything you have given me is from you. For the words that you gave to me, I have given to them, and they have received them, and know in truth that I came from you. And they have believed that you sent me. I am asking on their behalf. I am not asking on behalf of the world, but on behalf of those whom you gave me, because they are yours. All mine are yours. And yours are mine, and I have been glorified in them. And now I am no longer in the world, but they are in the world, and I am coming to you. Holy Father, protect them in your name that you have given me, so that they may be one as we are one. While I was with them, I protected them in your name that you have given me. I guarded them, and not one of them was lost except the one destined to be lost, so that the scripture might be fulfilled. But now I am coming to you, and I speak these things in the world, so that they may have my joy made complete in themselves. I have given them your word, and the world has hated them, because they do not belong to the world, just as I do not belong to the world. I am not asking you to take them out of the world, but I ask you to protect them from the evil one. They do not belong to the world, just as I do not belong to the world. Sanctify them in the truth. Your word is truth. As you have sent me into the world, so I have sent them into the world. And for their sakes, I sanctify myself, so that they also may be sanctified in truth. The Gospel of the Lord.
God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Please be seated. December 1st, 1955. It is early in the evening. A woman in her mid-40s boards a bus to take her home. She walks in a dignified manner. You could not tell from looking at her that she had been bent over an ironing board all day. Her shoulders were aching, and her feet were swollen. She sat down on the bus, and they began to drive through the streets of Montgomery, Alabama. At each stop, more people got on the bus until there were not enough seats left. The driver turned to look at her. "Get up and move," he said. With one word, this soft-spoken woman would alter the course of American history. With one word, spoken quietly, all she said was no. That's it. Just no. When the policeman came to arrest Rosa Parks, She said to him, "This isn't fair. This isn't right." And the policeman said, "I know it's not fair, but it's the law." Later that evening, in a poor section of Montgomery, Alabama, thousands of people would gather at a Baptist church, and Dr. King would say something that we've never forgotten. He said, "There comes a time in the life of a human being when that person can no longer accept the trampling down of the iron feet of oppression. There comes a time in the life of a human being thousand years ago, there were 120 people gathered in a room. They were all believers in Jesus, every single one of them. They had seen him appear in the resurrected form, and many of them have watched him be physically lifted up into the sky and out of their sight. They came together because they did not know what to do next. All they knew was that they needed each other. And Peter spoke. "Friends," he said, "Jesus chose 12 of us. But one of the 12 has left forever. One of the seats at the table is now empty, and we must fill that seat. You see, the number 12 was vitally important to the people of Israel. There had been 12 tribes. There must be 12 followers of Jesus. The other 10 and I have discussed this," Peter said, "and we've come up with 2 possible men who could fill this seat. Josephus, or Barsabbas, that people call Justus, or Matthias. One of you must take the place of Judas Iscariot as one of the 12. I've always pictured Matthias standing there in the middle of the room, surrounded by people. Can you imagine what went through his mind when they said his name? Me? What about him or him? I don't know Jesus well enough. I haven't been along the journey far enough. I didn't hear this. I wasn't there at that. This could be a huge commitment. I don't know if I have time for this. Where's the door?" Everyone prayed, and they drew lots. And the lot fell to Matthias. He never says a word. He just takes his place. There comes a time in the life of a human being when God says, "Okay, it's your turn." And oftentimes, we don't feel ready. I don't think that Rosa Parks was planning on starting a civil rights movement when she got on the bus that night, do you? I think she just wanted to get home, and her feet were hurting. Matthias probably wanted just to be around his friends and to talk about Jesus when all of a sudden he was one of the 12. But it was his time. You know, the word Matthias means disciple. And disciple in the ancient Greek means learner. Someone who sits at the feet of the master and learns and absorbs and listens. The 12 were called disciples while Jesus walked this earth. And then after his resurrection in the book of Acts, they are called something else. Can anyone tell me what that is? Apostles. They move from being disciples or learners to being the 12 apostles. An apostle means one who is sent. In other words, Jesus said, time's up, it's your turn. You gotta do something now. I'm sending you out. I know you may not feel ready. I know you don't know all the answers to all of the questions, but I say, time's up. It's your turn. You see, I believe that there are three fundamental stages in the Christian life. The first is the stage of baptism, the baptized believer. In baptism, God opens the kingdom to you. You are invited into the fullness of the resurrection life, but you don't yet know how to fully accept that invitation. You need to grow and mature. So if you have some discipline, you begin to practice the faith, which means you come to worship and you begin to study and go to classes and listen and learn, read the scripture, read books. A good disciple must always have a small group of people who are also disciples, who are also struggling to learn what Jesus had to say, how they are to follow him in their daily lives. So a disciple worships and studies, shares. And then at some point, each disciple will be invited by the Holy Spirit to become an apostle. And that, my friends, happens at a very unique moment for each one of you. Only you alone will know when you get an invitation to be sent out. It often happens when you least expect it, like late in the evening when your feet hurt. But there will be a moment when you have to decide whether you're going to move out and begin to live not for yourself, but for God. Helen was 23 years old when she fell in love. She was born and raised in Germany. And a young American man came to Germany to study. They really fell hard for each other. So when he said, "Will you marry me?" she said, "Yes." And then she moved to Cincinnati, Ohio. At 23, she found herself living in the middle of the United States, speaking a language that was not instinctual for her. And feeling alone. They quickly had a baby girl who was beautiful but very demanding. Helen had been baptized and she knew enough to know that she needed to go to church. She found a church home where the people seemed very friendly. They loved to hold her little girl. They would ask her how she was doing. She loved it. At that church, there was an apostle by the name of Sarah. Sarah was sent not very far, but every week Sarah was sent to the nursing home near the church, where she would visit and bring communion to people who could not attend the worship service. Sarah began to give communion to an old woman who could hardly speak. This woman had been married for 50 years, and her husband had just died. She was so distraught that she couldn't talk, and she didn't find a reason to live anymore. Sarah questioned the nurses and the aides and asked more about this woman. She found out that the woman had been born in Germany and had moved to the United States when she was a teenager. Sarah prayed for the woman, and in her prayers, that young German girl came to mind. The one with the unruly baby who came to church almost every Sunday and who always seemed frazzled. So after church the next Sunday, Sarah walked up to Helen. By this time, Helen's baby girl was toddling around, and she was a nightmare. You couldn't take her eyes off of her for one second. Sarah said, "Helen, I need you to come with me to the nursing home." Helen said, "Wait a minute," and ran and got the baby girl, brought her over again. And in her mind, she was thinking, "What? You're asking me to go to the nursing home? My hands are full. Look at me. I can hardly keep my eyes on this girl. Plus, I need people to care for me right now. I'm lonely. I'm tired. You want me to go visit some old person in the nursing home? Where's the door?" But instead of saying all of those things that ran through her head, she said, I'll go once. And Sarah's face lit up. So the next week after church, Helen and Sarah went to the nursing home to visit this old woman. Helen agreed to watch the baby girl, and she sat down, and she said in German to this old woman, "Hello, my name is Helen. I'm so glad to meet you." A river of words poured out of this woman's mouth. She began to talk and talk and talk in German as if she had never spoken before. She wanted to tell Helen all about her life, all about her husband, everything that was on her heart. Helen and her baby girl started visiting the nursing home every day. And that old woman began to speak again, to laugh again. And every day she talked from her heart in German. She didn't live very long, that old woman, but people remembered her as someone who was always kind, who had a beautiful smile. And Helen learned from that old woman about how to raise her daughter. And none of this would have happened if Helen hadn't recognized that she was being sent, that this was an invitation to become an apostle. So I want you to watch as you live the lives of disciples. Come to church, be in a small group, listen and learn, and wait for that moment when someone asks you something and you realize this is it. God is telling me it's time. It's my turn. And what will you say when that moment comes?
Let us stand and reaffirm our faith in the words of the Nicene Creed. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord, Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven. By the power of the Holy Spirit, he became incarnate from the Virgin Mary and was made man. For our sake, he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day, he rose again in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit,
the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son. With the Father and the Son,
he is worshipped and glorified. He has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy, Catholic, and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen.
Almighty God, we give you thanks for the resurrection of your Son, Jesus Christ. We thank you for showing us the path to eternal life. Risen Christ,
hear our prayer.
We ask your blessing on all who have died, that they may know the joy of the resurrection life. Risen Christ,
hear our prayer.
We pray for all who are ill, lonely, or suffering in any way. May they find the peace that passes all understanding. Risen Christ,
hear our prayer.
We pray for all victims of violence, especially the victims of violence in our own community, that they and their families may find peace and strength. Risen Christ,
hear our prayer.
We pray for those who serve in the military, for their family and friends, that they may be held in the palm of your hand. Risen Christ,
hear our prayer.
We pray for peace throughout the world, that there may be understanding among races and peoples. Risen Christ,
hear our prayer.
We pray for the good use of our natural resources, that we may be led to nurture and maintain this planet. Risen Christ,
hear our prayer.
We pray for the city of Jacksonville. Help us to care for this city. Bless our government and our schools. Help us to serve you here in the heart of downtown. Risen Christ,
hear our prayer.
We pray for this cathedral and for all those who walk through these doors, that we may be led to glorify you in all things. We give thanks for all the blessings of this life, especially for our graduating seniors. We pray that they may continue to grow in the stature of Christ. also give thanks for the ministry of Perry Smith as we celebrate the 10th anniversary of his ordination to the priesthood. Risen Christ.
Lord Jesus Christ, you said to your apostles, "Peace I give you, my own peace I leave with you. Regard not our sins, but the faith of your church, and give us the peace and unity of that heavenly city where with the Father and the Holy Spirit you live and reign now and forever. Amen. The peace of the Lord be always with you.
And also with you.
Please be seated. Welcome, everyone. Welcome. We're so glad you're here today. If you're new or visiting, we have a card in your pew that you can fill out, and we'll send you our e-newsletter. We also have folks at the back of the church who can give you a tour, and we're so glad you're here. We are still in the season of Easter. Have you forgotten? We're still in Easter. You're supposed to be feasting still. Next Sunday, we finally finish the season of Easter with the day of Pentecost. That is the birthday of the church when the Holy Spirit descended upon the disciples in tongues of fire, and they all spoke many languages. It is traditional through the centuries for people to wear red on Pentecost Sunday, so you're invited to wear red next Sunday, okay? Also, if you speak a foreign language, and you're going to be here next week, would you see Monica? She's here and will be available after church. We will give you the scripture from the book of Acts, and we're going to surround the whole nave and read it in all the languages that we can. So if you speak another language, come see us. And on Pentecost Sunday, we have 12 birthday cakes that are made. So if you want to bake a birthday cake, there are a few more slots open, so see the sign-up sheet in Tolliver Hall to bake a cake. Are there any teenagers in this congregation who have car keys or whose parents have car keys? Anybody? Don't be shy. Yes? Acolytes included. Who drives? Come on, Walker. Anybody else? Anybody 18 and under? Who's driving? Are you sure there's not a single soul? We're gonna find you. Okay, Walker, I need to bless your car keys. All right. The Lord be with you. Let us pray. Lord God, you have said it is time for Walker to drive, so I ask that you would bless these keys, that they would be reminders of him, of your presence with him as he gets behind the wheel. Lord, keep him safe. Help him always to know that it is better to be safe than to be right. Help him to be Christ-like behind the wheel, to be awake and aware at all times. And bless these car keys in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Thanks, Walker. And last but not least, today is the 10th anniversary of Father Perry's ordination to the priesthood. And he has touched so many of our lives. We feel so blessed that he is our priest. So there is a big party in Tolliver Hall, and the place is filled with balloons. So make sure that after church you go over into Tolliver Hall and join us as we celebrate this wonderful priest, Father Perry. Amen. remember the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, how he said, "It is more blessed to give than to receive."
Thank you.
us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give thanks and praise.
It is truly right to glorify you, Father, and to give you thanks, for you alone are God, living and true, dwelling in light inaccessible before time and forever. Fountain of life and source of all goodness, you made all things and filled them with your blessing. You created them to rejoice in the splendor of your radiance. Countless throngs of angels stand before you to serve you night and day, and beholding the glory of your presence, they offer you unceasing praise. Joining with them and giving voice to every creature under heaven, we acclaim you and glorify your name as we sing. You, Holy Lord, gracious in power. Your mighty works reveal your wisdom and love. You formed us in your own image, giving the whole world into our care, so that in obedience to you, our Creator, we might rule and serve all your creatures. When our disobedience took us far from you, you did not abandon us to the power of death. In your mercy, you came to our help, so that in seeking you, we might find you. Again and again, you called us into covenant with you, and through the prophets, you taught us to hope for salvation. Father, you love the world so much that in the fullness of time, you sent your only Son to be our Savior. Incarnate by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, he lived as one of us, yet without sin. To the poor, he proclaimed the good news of salvation, to prisoners, freedom, sorrowful joy. To fulfill your purpose, he gave himself up to death, and rising from the grave, destroyed death and made the whole creation new. And that we might live no longer for ourselves, but for him who died and rose for us, he sent the Holy Spirit, his own first gift for those who believe, to complete his work in the world and to bring to fulfillment the sanctification of all. When the hour had come for him to be glorified by you, his heavenly Father, having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. At supper with them, he took bread, and when he had given thanks to you, he broke it and gave it to his disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body which is given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." After supper, he took the cup of wine, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them and said, "Drink this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Whenever you drink it, do this for the remembrance of me." Father, we now celebrate this memorial of our redemption, recalling Christ's death and his descent among the dead, proclaiming his resurrection and ascension to your right hand, awaiting his coming in glory, and offering to you, from the gifts you have given us, this bread and this cup, We praise you and we bless you.
We praise you.
Lord, we pray that in your goodness and mercy, your Holy Spirit may descend upon us and upon these gifts, sanctifying them and showing them to be the holy gifts for your holy people, the bread and life and the cup of salvation, the body and blood of your Son, Jesus Christ. Grant that all who share this bread and cup may become one body and one spirit, a living sacrifice in Christ, in praise of your name. Remember, Lord, your one holy Catholic and apostolic church, redeemed by the blood of your Christ. Reveal its unity, guard its faith, and preserve it in peace. And grant that we may find our inheritance with the Blessed Virgin Mary, with patriarchs, prophets, apostles, and martyrs, with John and Matthias and all the saints who have found favor with you in ages past. We praise you in union with them and give you glory through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Through Christ and with Christ and in Christ, all honor and glory are yours, Almighty God and Father, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, forever and ever.
Amen.
And now, as our Savior Christ has taught us, we are bold to say, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Gifts of God for the people of God. Take them in remembrance that Christ died for you and feed on him in your hearts by faith with thanksgiving. Let us pray. Almighty and ever-living God, we thank you for feeding us with the spiritual food of the most precious body and blood of your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ, and for assuring us in these holy mysteries that we are living members of the body of your Son and heirs of your eternal kingdom. Now, Father, send us out to do the work you have given us to do, love and serve you as faithful witnesses of Christ our Lord. To him, to you, and to the Holy Spirit, be honor and glory, now and forever. Amen. May Almighty God fill you with courage, wisdom, and joy. May Jesus Christ, your strong companion and never-failing friend, make you strong in faith and defend you on every side. May the Holy Spirit guide you in truth and peace. And may the blessing of God Almighty, Creator, Redeemer, and Sustainer, rest upon you this day and forevermore.
Amen.
Alleluia, alleluia. Let us go forth in the name of Christ.